Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into the 4 o'clock hour, you're listening to Gwen and Chris. I'm Tony Wood Jr. He's Chris Ello and our esteemed producer, Matt Scravey, also along for the ride. This is the hour in which you get a Chris versus the fan. Now, my understanding is, because I haven't been here for quite some time to participate in Chris versus Fan, is Chris has been running rough shop on everybody.
Not really.
It's about time for he never admits when he's having good run. Never really. So it's about time that some of you callers step to the plate and
Chris Ello. You better be directing that to Tony Gwynn Jr., not to me, because remember, I'm not talking to you this week.
No, I'm directing it to you, Chris.
Not really.
I just mow people down daily, but not really.
Not talking to you until Sunday about 4:30, and we're walking off the field. Ryan Fitzpatrick has the game ball in his hand.
It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, so you make sure you address your comments to me there, Scraby.
That's right.
Okay.
Not talking with you, and I'm so glad Jimmy G is going to be back for the for his 49ers, Tony, because I don't want him making any excuses on Monday.
Yeah, and you know Scraby is an excuse maker.
So I am not.
I am glad that that Jimmy Garoppolo will be in the lineup this week. Hopefully, you get Mooster.
Put them all in there. We want to beat all of them.
Yeah, we want the whole thing in there. I can see the Niners going down today.
It's okay. It's all right.
I actually believe
you know what? I honestly want, and I'm the biggest Dolphin fan you could possibly ever come across. I want the Niners to lose more than I want the Dolphins to win.
That is the weirdest thing.
That's
spot.
Some strong hate for the Niners right
that's
there.
That strong is. Hate. Showtime!
All right, let's, without further ado. By the way, I did get some Tessitore fix over last week, and he did one of the college games.
Oh, we were talking yesterday about how he's like calling mini golf now on ABC. So,
that's Steph Curry's show that he does mini golf for.
What's the name of that show that he does? I don't know what it's called.
Gosh, I can't remember. It's a wacky show.
It's called. This is what it's called.
Showtime.
All right, that joke didn't work.
Nope, it was pretty poorly timed. All right, let's go ahead and get into some Chris versus the Fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Chris, what do we win? Or excuse me, what do our contestants win if they take you down?
Yeah, they've been winning. I mean, people have been getting this prize. It's an MLB Network prize pack is what it is. It's kind of a cool little deal here. Let me look it up. I'm not finding it, so Scraby is going to have to kill a little time for. Here we go. Haven't found it yet. Hang on.
I got you. The Network prize pack that includes
there it
an
MLB is. I just found it. Go ahead.
Network hat and T-shirt and other goodies. MLB Network prize pack contains, as I said, a hat, T-shirt, plastic cup, koozie, stress ball, sunglasses, and a mini foam number one finger. All right, that's what you win if you take down Chris. Scraby, rules, please.
The rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
All right. Well, without further ado.
Thank you, phone, for confirming my
rules. It was perfect
rules.
Sound, right?
That was perfect timing, yeah.
Let's get to our first contestant. Matt, who's our first contestant?
Hector in South Bay.
Hector in South Bay, welcome to Gwen and Chris. How's your day going?
What's up, fellas? It's going great.
Good, Hector.
Awesome. Here we go, Hector. Let's get to the first question.
If you had one shot.
Oh, my God.
You're
replaying? All right, hold on.
How many times have you run this show before?
It's
your first?
The open and the bed is stacked together, and I just put a bunch of opens in, so give me 1 second.
Clean it up, Scraby.
1 second.
Scraby, this is the big leagues we're in here now. This isn't like AA Nashville. You got to start performing.
Yeah, I know. Odd Thomas is sitting right behind me, ready to take the wheel. So here we go.
Tom Seaver pitched for which Major League Baseball team in 1975? Did you look at your answer on this one, Scraby?
You know what? I'm sorry. I did not catch any of that question. I'm sorry.
We'll try it again. Tom Seaver pitched for which Major League Baseball team in 1975?
Tom Seaver. The Yankees?
The Yankees. That is incorrect. Chris for the steal.
You know, he was obviously a great Hall of Famer. He was with the Mets, and I don't know if he'd gone to the Reds by 75 or not. That's the tough one. But I'm going to say he was still with the Mets. I think he went to the Reds a little later. So I'll say Mets.
Mets for the steal. That is correct.
My answer was...
Sorry.
My answer Hector. Was 1975.
Yeah, I was like, there's no such team named
1975. The 1975ers.
Tom Seaver, man, that guy could pitch.
He sure could.
Can you imagine a guy like Tom Seaver starting a playoff game now and having the manager come over to him after the fourth inning and go, "That's good, Tom. Thank you."
I'm totally convinced that all those type of guys would have quit. They would have just said, "I don't want to do this anymore."
Yeah, I can't play under these circumstances.
You're taking me out after five innings. I feel perfectly fine and actually really mean that. All right, let's move to our next contestant, Pete out in La Mesa. Pete, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Pete.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Could I speak to Matt after the show?
No,
I'm sure that we will have you.
That only means that there's some issues that I got to take care of. I'm assuming
that's correct. And after this is over, I'd like to speak to you. Thank you.
Okay, I'm scared.
All right, here we go.
I'm
first
scared.
Question.
I'm scared.
Pete, take care of your own personal business on your own time.
Thank you. Okay.
Don't listen to him, Pete.
Here we go. First question. What city did Will Smith call home before he moved to Bel Air in the classic TV show?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Nice.
That is
nice
correct.
Job.
That's
we
moved
good.
To round number two.
That's a good potpourri question right there.
That was. Who is the Major League Baseball player nicknamed Joey Bats?
Joey Bats. I think that's Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo. That is incorrect. Chris for the steal.
It's Joey Flip the Bautista.
Sorry?
Jose Bautista.
There it is. Jose Bautista.
Hold
is
on, Pete.
Correct.
I'll get you in the break.
Hang tight. We'll make sure Scraby gets to you here after this segment is over. We move to our next contestant, Mike out in Claremont. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Joey Bats.
Good. How's it going, fellas?
It's going well. By the way, that question probably should have been preferenced in what former Major League player, because he's no longer in the league. But just saying.
Yeah, might have thrown Pete off a little bit there. But
might have thrown him off.
That happens.
Here we go. First question.
Okay.
Boom. How many yards is the penalty in the NFL for an unsportsmanlike conduct?
Unsportsmanlike. What is that? Five? I'm going to go, it's got to be 15 yards.
He's going 15.
Bing.
That is correct.
All right.
Move to question number two.
Happy. I'm glad. I love this. I love that. Good enthusiasm.
Star power forward slash center Kevin Love spent the first 6 years of his NBA career with which team?
Oh, he was with Minnesota Timberwolves.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Shut up,
Scotty. Yeah.
My tongue got tied. That is correct.
Don't be knocking our contestant. The guy's doing a nice job.
I was knocking Tony.
Yeah, I said Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
There we go. Question number three. Ooh. Good one. How many times did the Padres win the National League West while they played in Jack Murphy Stadium? This is a trick question.
Oh, jeez. Twice.
The number is two. Is that correct, Scraby?
Ooh. That's mean.
Close. But no
sign. Well, this is tough. I mean, they won it three times. They won it in 84. They won it in 96. They won it in 98. The question is Scraby being a, you know, Jack Murphy only stadium and taking out the times it was called Qualcomm Stadium, or is he including the same stadium? So the caller guessed three, or guessed
caller
two.
Guessed two.
And I really believe the answer is either three or one, based on whatever Scraby happens to be thinking. Mm. And I don't know what he's thinking. I don't ever know what he's thinking. Read the question again, please, and I'm going to try to discern it based on the way the question is being asked.
No problem. How many times did the Padres win the National League West while they played in Jack Murphy Stadium?
All right, I'm going to say that he's going with the Jack Murphy Stadium. They won one.
One.
I'm bracing for impact.
Oh.
You overthought that question.
All right. Well, then I'm glad for the caller.
Mike, congratulations. You are the winner. Hang on the line.
Way to go, Mike. Nice job.
Put you on hold, Mike.
You might be stuck behind Pete there first, but just hang on the line. We'll get you your prize. And
so was the answer three?
The answer was three.
All right. But the other two times they won it was Qualcomm Stadium, so that's why I was thinking Scraby was being kind of...
You know, I Scraby's, wish I was smart enough to do that.
I was just... You took the word literally out of my mouth.
I was giving him too much credit?
You were. I don't think he's that good of a sports fan where he would notice those type of things.
No,
so.
I don't know. He might. You know, he's always trying to trip me up, so I was thinking that he was trying to trip
that
me
is
up
true.
There.
That's
I love that I live in your head, though. Love it.
You Ooh, don't. Now oh he's God. Claiming he lives in your head, Chris.
You better
he
talk.
He always takes it the extra mile.
Sunday right, afternoon, well, Scraby. Sunday
can't
afternoon.
Wait for this
it's
dolphin
all coming
to cry.
To a head.
You hear that? There's tears in that one.
All right. Well, let's get to break. Scraby, do we have any callers that we need to get to?
Not at the moment. No.
Not at the moment. All right. So with no callers, we will set this next segment up for some San Diego State football. That's right. They released the Mountain West schedule a couple days back. We'll get into it when we return. Excuse me. Did I say football? I meant to say basketball.
Yeah.
We'll get into it when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right. We kick off the segment with a little bookkeeping. 4:19 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Hope you enjoyed our edition of Gwynn and Chris versus the fans today. But we just got a phone caller in. Evidently, Scraby was wrong again.
Hold on.
Oh, you were so wrong.
Hold on.
Because what ended up happening was Jack Murphy Stadium became Qualcomm Stadium in 1998, Tony.
Yes.
So when correct. The Padres went to the World Series and won the division in 98, it was under the flag of Qualcomm Stadium. They did actually win two NL West titles under the flag of Jack Murphy Stadium in 1984 and in 1996. So the caller who Scraby said was wrong, was actually correct when he said two.
You know what's funny, Chris?
So the guy ended up with the prize who should have ended up with the prize in the first place. So that's good.
Right. And we should be doubly upset with Mr. Scraby, because that the mere fact that you got to guess could have cost that man a chance to win the prize. You
yeah, what are you doing out there, Scraby? Taking prizes out of the right out of the the hands of our great listeners like that.
You know, again, I wasn't smart enough to put two and two together with the Jack Murphy Qualcomm debacle.
Uh-huh. Well, you turned it into a debacle.
Okay.
Fortunately, we were able to straighten it all out.
What should
have? Thank you to our listeners for always.
That's right. Our listeners always keep us on our toes. We have the best listeners and the smartest listeners.
You know, when Derek called in to tell me that, I originally thought he was making a great point for me, but then I just realized when you guys start talking about it, he was not making a point for me. But what would you like me to call it? San Diego Stadium?
No, you said it. You said it right. You said that how many division titles did they win? You know what's funny is maybe in 1984 it might have still been called San Diego Stadium. I don't even know if it was Jack Murphy Stadium then.
Well, listen, I've watched that games 3, 4, and 5 so often that I remember the announcers calling it Jack Murphy Stadium as they came into the broadcast.
So yeah. I think it was. I got to hand it to Matt Vasgersian last night on the TV. He quoted the great Don Drysdale line about Garvey's home run. There will be tomorrow.
He did.
Was awesome. But it was, you know what? I mean, I normally listen to Ted and Jesse, and I hope they'll understand if they're listening. But I really do love Matt Vasgersian. He's one of my all-time favorite broadcasters. And I tell you one thing, listening, you know, I don't get a chance to hear him very often anymore. So it was fun watching him last night. I wish it was under better circumstances, of course.
But, him and Smoltz are really good together.
Smoltz
too.
Is so smart about the game of baseball, absolutely. And Matt does a great job. So it was fun to have him on the show the other day and then get to listen to him last night. All right, here's the schedule. Now, we're going till 6 o'clock tonight. Remember, we're on a little bit earlier today, so we're off at 6 o'clock. Coming up on the show in about 10 minutes here, we'll have the Big Five. And the Big Five's got a lot of moving parts to it because there's a lot of stuff to talk about, especially with the National Football League and their schedule and the COVID virus and Tom Brady not knowing what down it is last night and the Tampa Bay-Chicago game. I mean, he's never going to live that one down. But we'll talk about all of that stuff in the Big Five with Scraby here in about 10 minutes. Then Will Leitch is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about the Padres and the season that has just come to an end here at the hands of the Dodgers, and what is ahead and what great things are ahead for Padre baseball. Also in our happy hour, the 5 o'clock hour today, we will have a version of Chris's Fantabulous Sports game show, which is Padre postseason related. So you'll have some fun listening to that, and the guys will be racking their brains. And then we'll have a countdown, kind of a special countdown to end the show today, coming up around 5:30. So that is what is still ahead. The Yankees and the Rays are underway at Petco Park, and the handsome Tyler Glasnow has set down the Yankees in order in the top of the first inning. Rays are batting in the bottom of the first. So
looks can kill.
There you go. Looks can kill from what, Scraby?
No, for Glasnow.
For Glasnow. Okay.
He just looks at the batter and they strike out.
Except when he's tipping his pitches like he was last year and the Astros.
Oh, was he doing that last year? Did you realize somebody brought this up? I think it was Matt Vasgersian brought it up last night, but these two pitchers tonight, you got Gerrit Cole and Tyler Glasnow, two really good ace pitchers. And both of them came out of the Pirates organization. I mean,
man,
that's
the Pirates are just kicking themselves.
Yeah, that's what lousy organizations do. They they get rid of guys like that, and good organizations hang on to guys like that. Of course, Gerrit Cole, I don't know what they could have done. I mean, he was a free agent, but Glasnow they lost in a really bad trade.
He wasn't
trade.
A free agent. They traded him to Houston.
Oh, that's right. They got rid of him first, and Glasnow was a horrendous trade they made with Tampa Bay. I don't even
horrible.
Know what they got back in that
good
deal.
Good question.
All right, Aztec basketball jumps into the scene real quick because the Mountain West Conference schedule is out. Circle December 29th on your calendar. That is the first Mountain West Conference game. The Aztecs will be home to New Mexico. I don't know why I'm asking you to circle your calendar. I don't know that anybody will be allowed to go to the game. But the Aztec basketball Mountain West Conference schedule is out. I guess the most interesting thing about it is that it's 18 games. And I had thought that they were going to go to 20 games. But evidently with the coronavirus, they're not doing that yet. Because there was some talk that they would play. Remember, they were going to play every team twice. Yeah. And with 11 teams in the league, that would be a 20-game schedule. Maybe that starts next year. I'm so confused with everything that's happened, you know, with the college basketball world. But the Mountain West Championships are still scheduled for Las Vegas, and that's March the 10th through the 13th. And that's exactly when the coronavirus pandemic hit last year, was by about March the 10th through the 13th, right as the Aztecs were finishing up the Mountain West Championships. I remember they lost the final game there to Utah State, and then they were getting ready to find out where they were going to go for the NCAA tournament, what their seeding was going to be, et cetera. And that's kind of when sports shut down. So college basketball, hopefully, they will be able to get their season going. Now, from what I understand, Tony, and Mark Ziegler's been writing a lot of stuff on this, it's very unclear, but the Aztecs are going to try to play 7 or 8 non-conference games before the conference schedule. They might play in a, quote, bubble-type tournament somewhere along the line down in Orlando. They could have a couple of home games on the schedule. I know I've been talking to the women's team, and they're trying to schedule some games before the conference starts and play mostly at home or stay in Southern California. So it's going to be a challenging year for college basketball, just as it is for college football. I know there's probably a couple of big games tomorrow in college football, Tony, but I'm not really aware of them. I'm still having trouble getting myself locked in and ready for this college football season. Maybe once the Aztecs are able to play a game, I'll start focusing a little more on it. But right now, college football just doesn't. I'm not interested right now. It hasn't jumped into my mind yet.
No, I'm right there with you in terms of the basketball. So you're saying me that this schedule's still fluid, right? So that they're still trying to add 7 non-conference.
They're gonna add some non-conference games before December 29th. I believe that college basketball is allowed to start right after Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken. So they have about a month to play, like I said, 6 or 7 non-conference games. And I think, you know, both the men and women's team at San Diego State are trying to get those games scheduled. But December 29th, I think that's set in stone for the start of the Mountain West Conference season. So
that makes sense. I will say this in terms of football. I'm 100% there with you. I just cannot get into it when all of the teams aren't involved. It just seems a little cheap right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't seem like, and it's not your typical college football season, in part because mainly because of COVID-19. So I just know I haven't been able to get into it. There's been a few games that I've been able to watch, like a possession or two, but that's about as long as I've stayed with a college football game all year long.
Yeah, here's a big headline for ESPN tomorrow: Canes, Tigers, Dogs, Vols. Another must-watch week six. They're already into week six. Have I missed
something?
They played
something? There's 6 weeks already?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're taking liberties because people are skipping weeks, and
they're just calling it
week six just to keep some
sort
of order.
This is supposed to be week six for some
people. How many teams have played 5 games?
I can't name one. I can't name one, honestly.
I'll tell you another thing. I can't, other than saying to know that Clemson is number one and Alabama's number two, I don't know the rankings at all. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, can you really go off of the rankings when not everybody's playing? Like, it just seems, the whole thing seems just so weird to me in college.
Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Oregon, Penn State, and Ohio State, all of those teams are ranked in the top 25. Tony, do you know what their combined record is?
0-0.
Yeah, 0-0. They haven't played a game.
And they're in the top 25.
All of them are in the top 25.
If this doesn't tell you how absurd the rankings are,
yeah,
I don't know what will.
That's exactly, yeah, that's why I'm not paying attention to them. I'm wondering if the Aztecs are receiving any votes yet in the poll, but I haven't noticed that or not. All right, let's step aside. When we come back, Scraby's got a good Big Five. We got a lot of things to get into. The passing of a baseball legend. Talk a little bit about that in the Big Five, along with all of this NFL stuff. It's all coming up. Stick around. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwynn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh my goodness, guys, do we have some good stuff to talk about today in the Big Five. So let's get going.
Number five.
First, we're going to start with the Thursday night football game that happened last night between the Buccaneers and the Bears. I did not watch a single second of this game, except for maybe the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to Tom Brady in his entire career. So, like I said, there's two things with Tom Brady here. And first, when the game was on the line, it was fourth down. The Bucs didn't convert, but Tom Terrific was putting up four fingers like he still thought he had a down to go. I know you guys have seen the video, so you know what I'm talking about. But after the game, people were like, Tom, did you forget the down? And this is what he said in postgame.
Yeah, I knew we needed a chunk, and I was thinking about more yardage. And then, you know, it was bad execution. And we had a great opportunity there, so just didn't execute when we needed to.
So he didn't answer the question there about whether or not he knew if it was fourth
down.
What,
is he running for vice president of the United States? I mean, how tough of a question was that?
So he was pressed again. Did you know it was fourth down? And here is what he said.
Yeah, we just you're up against the clock and you're up against the you know, I knew we had to gain a chunk, so I should have been thinking more first down instead of chunk on that down.
All right, still didn't admit to not knowing it was fourth down. Now, here's where you really get the real story. You ask the head coach, did Tom Brady know it was fourth down? And here is what Bruce Arians had to say.
Yeah, he knew.
That's it. So, case closed, guys. Case closed. He knew it was fourth down.
No, he didn't. So, I watched it. It happened to take place between a commercial break in the Dodger-Padre game, so I had flipped over.
And Tom's sitting there like, hey, where's
Brady's my... looking around like, how come it's not our ball?
Yeah.
He didn't go out. He didn't even go off the field.
He didn't,
no.
You know who he looked like? He looked like Jace Tingler when he got ejected from the game the other night. Somebody had to come over and tell him. Hey, Tom, that's it. You only get four tries, pal.
Can you imagine?
You know, it's funny. He was out on the field so long that I started to believe, okay, well,
thought about that too, Tony, because I had just flipped over. I thought they must have made a mistake.
It's like they must have made a mistake. Tom's definitely not going to not know how what down
right.
it is. It just,
with the
no
game
way
on
happens.
The line, the, everything at stake, I mean, that was
this
their
is
last
he got his
chance.
Best. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is
no,
when
I,
he's at his best.
I thought for sure the referees had messed up the down. And I, you know what? If I recall it correctly, I think they might have thought so because they kind of.
Oh, yeah, they double checked real quick. They were like, well, if Tom Brady's still fourth down, we better make sure, guys.
Yeah, I think Tom has earned that in his career. Yeah, but yeah, the real issue that people are talking about happened after the clock expired and Tom Brady ran right back to the locker room while the camera showed Nick Foles looking for his counterpart to do the handshake thing.
He was looking for somebody. I don't know if he was looking or not.
Yeah, he was like, "Where? What's going on?" He just kind of was walking aimlessly around. And so I say it's Tom following the COVID rules, but with some spite behind it. But this is the second time that Tom Brady has lost to Nick Foles and not shook his hand, the first time being when Nick Foles and the Eagles beat them in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So, Chris...
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on these issues? Mainly, we already talked about the fourth down thing. It was just a little bit of a mistake, or a big mistake, not a little bit of a mistake. But what do you think about him not shaking Nick Foles' hand?
Same thing I always think. I don't like good losers.
Right.
So, you know, Tom Brady's a terrible loser.
Terrible.
terrible so loser. So I don't hold that against him, but it does seem like in the National Football League that after every game, quarterbacks do kind of seek each other out. And I understand that, you know, you're staying away from the handshake stuff right now, but you can still at least, you know, go within, you know, 6 feet of somebody and just say, hey, good game, and then run off the field. And I will say this, that having said that, you know, I don't like good losers, you know, a lot of quarterbacks over the years have come up and sought out Tom Brady after a game and said, hey, good game, because he's beaten them. So I think he owes it to Nick Foles to do the same thing when he gets beat by him.
I agree with that. Tony, what do you think?
99.9% of the time, I agree with what Chris is saying. But in the COVID-19 era, which is the 0.1% that I'm talking about, I just don't feel like you should be shaking hands at this point. You could just do the good old chin-up nod from a distance as you run off. That's good enough in this time. Because
like the sup nod.
Yeah, like, what's up? Like, yeah, just give him, like, hey, good game. Like, nod him. You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have to go sprinting off like Tom did yesterday. But, you know, I understand not necessarily wanting to fraternize after the game, especially given everything that's going on, given how, really, their season is hanging in the balance. And I'm talking about the NFL season when you got these COVID pop-ups and things happening quite often here right now.
Yeah, by the way.
I think that Tom Brady ran off the field after the game, and the reason he didn't shake Nick Foles' hand, he thought it was halftime.
Hello! By the way, Chris, I have an update on the Jets situation. It turned out to be a false positive.
Oh, good, okay.
So all the Jets are fine.
That's a bit of good news for the NFL
They're starting to see patterns here on the false positive. Like, usually when there's been a false positive, it's usually one person that's has this positive test, and then you don't hear anything like as quick as you do when it's a positive.
True.
Like a real one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there is a little bit of a pattern there.
So their game is okay to go at the moment.
They're okay.
Good.
Number four.
Now, I don't know if you guys heard this yesterday, but Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright was part of the broadcast for the Braves in the Marlins series, and in the eighth inning of a 7-0 snore fest, Wainwright admitted this about his teammates.
I had to battle half my team thinking the earth is flat this year, and they think we've never been to the moon and all kinds of crazy stuff. We've got a bunch of flat earthers.
I imagine it makes for interesting clubhouse conversation.
So Carpenter, yes, flat earther. Carlos Martinez, definitely a flat earther. Dottie's more of a round earther.
Smartest guy on the team, Paul DeJong, is a flat earther. Never seen it.
So apparently it's not just Kyrie Irving that believes that the earth is flat. And I don't really have a question to ask other than, Chris, why do athletes seem to think the earth is flat?
I don't know. Excuse me.
Oh, wait, it was Tony first anyway. I'm sorry.
Good.
Tony was laughing the entire time through that.
First of all, because...
Sorry.
How fitting is it that Wainwright, the vet, said half his team were flat earthers and they were one of the outbreaks in the whole situation? I just find that to be, like, poetic. Poetically lining up as it should, right? Flat earthers probably don't believe that COVID-19 existed.
Great point.
Along those lines. And so that's how I took it as he was saying it. Like, man, like, it was hard. When he's saying he's had to get through flat earthers, I think what he's secretly trying to say is, I'm happy I survived this season, because a lot of these cats just didn't believe it was real, right? But, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I think Wayno, who has been in the league for a very long time, I think he was a closer in their, what was it, 06 World Series they won before he became the starter he became. I like that. That's what, you know, players who are still close to the game can bring to the table in these – and these snooze fests, as that game was, in a playoff game, is you get little nuggets like that. And that was when I heard, I actually did hear that last night, and the first thing I thought of was, that makes sense, because they were one of the outbreak teams during the year.
Never even thought of it that way. Great point. Chris, anything to add?
I don't know. I'm still sneezing over here.
Hey, am I missing anything? I mean, it's pretty well proven that the earth is round, right? Because there are so many people in this world that believe it's flat. So I don't I'm starting to second guess myself a little bit because there are these people out there.
I don't know. The sky's blue last I checked. I mean, there's some people it doesn't matter what you tell them. You can't convince right. them of anything. I'm not necessarily shocked that athletes are kind of among those who feel this way, but my best guess is that there's probably a certain percentage of lawyers and doctors out there that think the same thing. We just don't know about it. So,
that's a good point. It could be
athletes
true, yeah.
usually kind of represent the rest of society. I will say this. I'm glad the Cardinals didn't – or the Padres didn't lose to these dum-dums in the wild card playoff. I'll say that.
Can't be losing to a bunch of flat earthers.
I would hope not.
Number three.
The NFL is definitely feeling the heat of COVID with games being moved all over the place. Yesterday, the Bills-Titans game, which was to be played on Sunday, moved to Tuesday, but their Thursday night football game, the Bills that is, which is scheduled for next Thursday, is going to be moved to Saturday. Now, I don't think that's official yet, but that's what people are saying out there, and that is probably the best plan to keep the playing field level, because 3 days off would be the same amount of time a team would have when playing Thursday night football. Of course, the NFL says they are putting health and safety first, but Chris, do you think the NFL is actually putting health and safety first?
I think the NFL's been putting health and safety about eighth the entire time. I mean, from the day that the coronavirus pandemic started, it seems like the NFL's been putting safety about eighth. I think it's up to these players and these coaches and these teams to really be diligent, taking care of themselves. You know, it's funny, like I said earlier, the Jets' positive test came out today, and they asked the Cardinals GM about it because they're playing the Jets, and he said, oh, no, we're getting on the plane, going, getting ready to play. I mean, there was no concern at all. And you just said it turns out it was a false positive. That's good news. But the NFL's been going full speed ahead the entire time. I hope that they care about the health and the safety of these guys. I'd like to believe that they do. But there's so many things that the NFL has done since the start of the coronavirus situation. I'll just say it's kind of been a bad look from time to time. Selfishly, I'm glad they're playing. But unselfishly, you know, I feel for a lot of these guys having to go out and perform under less than stellar circumstances.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think the NFL is actually putting health and safety first?
Good question. First of all, would anybody know what channel the Yankee game is on?
No.
TBS.
Can I find it? Can I find it anywhere? TBS. All right. To answer your question, I think my answer lines up with Chris's. It does seem like, as much as we've been the beneficiary of them getting these games in, it does seem like they're just pressing on without any, like, hesitation at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll move a game to Tuesday that was on Sunday. Move it a couple days. We'll be good. They're not really, like, doesn't seem like there's no urgency to get things fixed. Like, when the Cardinals and Marlins got into it, like, you could see it you could read it in the stories that there was an urgency that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't play for weeks, those teams.
Yeah.
Right. There was like, we are shutting the whole thing down until you guys clear this up. We'll deal with the consequences at the end. It just doesn't seem like there's that same type of urgency in the NFL. So I do kind of think it's a little bit of a bad look.
Good job, guys.
Number two.
You're on my side. Legendary Yankees pitcher Whitey Ford passed away yesterday at the age of 91. Ford helped the Yankees win 6 World Series titles and 11 American League pennants in his 16 seasons. He had a career record of 236-106, setting the Yankees record for victories. His career winning percentage of 69% is the best for any pitcher with at least 300 career decisions. Ford was the Cy Young Award winner in 1961 when he was 25-4 and was a 10-time All-Star. So, Tony, where does Whitey Ford rank among pitchers all-time?
Wow. Well, obviously, he was the best of one of the best of his time. You guys know how I feel about Major League Baseball prior to them letting everybody play in the game. So mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where he rates among all-time greats, but certainly for his era, he was one of the best, if not the best. pitchers that we had in the league at that point. So, obviously, one of the baseball greats. We've lost a few of them this year.
Bob Gibson, recently, in the last week, Tom Seaver.
Yeah, we've lost a few of them. Now you add Whitey Ford to it. Certainly, some baseball history that we're losing here. But nevertheless, I think he was one of the best in his time for sure.
Chris, where does Whitey Ford rank among pitchers all time?
He ranks way up there, just because. And first of all, I mean, Tony's thing, which I've come to kind of agree with over the years. I mean, Whitey Ford played his entire career. I'm pretty sure, Tony, after the color barrier was broken by Jackie Robinson, so he did pitch in an era where pretty much everybody was allowed to play. Not everyone.
Oh, you're right. You're right. He did.
Here's the thing with Whitey Ford. He won 10 World Series games. Now, you know, that's phenomenal. He also had a 33-inning scoreless streak in the World Series, which is better than even Bumgarner ever did. And he started game one of every World Series. Like, the Yankees made the World Series every year, and Whitey Ford was on the mound for game one every single year. So there wasn't a better money pitcher in the 1960s, early 60s, late 50s.
Lefty.
You know, he doesn't get in the same category as the Gibsons and the Koufaxes and, you know, Seaver and Ron. I'm not quite sure why not, because he was a little lefty who didn't overpower anybody. But you know what? My goodness. He was out there on the mound every single time you needed a win. And, you know, the New York Yankees, I think they always get remembered for all their hitting, Tony. They don't get remembered for any of their pitching. But
that's a good point.
You know, Whitey Ford really did the job. For 15 years, he was the opening day pitcher. It was like you could set your October clock by it, right? The first game of the World Series, Whitey Ford starting. I mean, impressive.
Let me revise mine. I mean, 2.47 in 56 led ERA 2.01 in the following year. Obviously, Chris just went over his postseason stats. He's got to be top five in terms of, especially because of postseason, right? Because ultimately, for pitchers, a lot of times, if you don't have lights-out stuff, you only get recognized in the postseason after that. And I think Whitey Ford falls into that category, kind of along those Andy Pettit lines, right? Like, you think of him in the postseason, Andy Pettit was one of the best ever.
Well, how many postseason wins would a Whitey Ford had if they had a staged playoff tier system like they, you know, do now?
Do now, yeah.
I mean, his only postseason pitching he got to do was in the World Series.
Right.
So
right.
he was pretty
good. They didn't have a playoffs at that point. It was just you win your league, you go to the World Series.
Yeah, he was pretty damn good.
Number one.
Quickly, this one just popped in my head. So, you know, the Padres played the Dodgers in Texas at Globe Life Field. Globe Life is actually a pretty big ballpark, and I think we all kind of noticed that in the series this week. So, Chris, do you think it might have been different if they were playing at Petco and at Dodger Stadium?
Oh, I know Fernando Tatis's ball would have been out of Dodger Stadium if that had been a game two, and they showed that graphic last night. But I'm not going to play that game right now. I mean, this was just a year where it wasn't done that way. So, you know, they had to play Globe Life Field. I got to believe the Dodgers are a better team. I mean, the home run weapon, taking that away from the Dodgers, I thought would affect them more than it would to take it away from the Padres. But it didn't, because the Dodgers scored 12 runs last night without a home run. So, you know, if you would have just factored that in along with the fact that the Dodgers were the best home run hitting team in baseball, I think they would have prevailed pretty much either way.
Tony, and before we go to Tony real quick, how much did we think that we were going to be talking Globe Life Field when we got into that argument months ago?
No kidding.
No kidding.
It got a lot of run this year.
It did. Tony, what do you think about the situation?
Real quick, I'm not so sure it would have made that big of a difference, because although the ball was flying out of Dodger Stadium, those were day games that were played by the Astros and Oakland.
Right.
And everybody knows the ball travels well during the day. At night, it gets a lot heavier. So I'm not so sure it would have made that much of a difference. We'll get the data at the end of the year about how fair Globe Life Field was. Was it more of a pitcher's park? Was it more of a hitter's park? We know what everybody thinks it is. So I'm not sure. I kind of agree with Chris. I don't want to play that particular game until we get some more data. But certainly would have been nice to see some games at Petco Park, some more games at Petco Park.
Take play. That for data.
Would have been so cool to be at Petco Park to watch them play, that's for sure. But we'll get it next year, hopefully.
Hopefully we get a chance to do that next year. All right, happy hour on the way, plus that Vegas question is all the way, plus, Chris's fantabulous game show also coming down the pipe. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.